So guys, you heard them today. One New Testament, right? One person. There's a chain reaction in the spirit. You don't know. You know, with one step of obedience, one act of obedience can do. And God wants all of us to be involved in his mission. And in order to do that, it's going to require someone greater than we are with us. Amen? And God is in us. If Christ is in you, then you are a child of his. If you don't have Christ in you, then you don't belong to God. Amen? You can do religious things, but if you don't have Christ, you don't have life. So Jesus said you must be born again. In Psalm 68:1, you know, we just sang this because I love it. Obviously, you know, I love this song because really it is a declaration that we want God's presence in our midst and we want God to arise and to strike down our enemies, because the enemies that we face are spiritual primarily. First of all, we're in a spiritual battle, and what we see in the natural is usually just a manifestation of that which is in the invisible and the spiritual. And so as we declare and say, God, we want you to arise. In Psalm 68:1, this is what Moses would quote, right? They declare as they would take up God's, the Ark of the Covenant, which represented God's presence on the earth. And they would take up the Ark as they were getting ready to move or relocate. And they would declare, let God arise and what? His enemies be scattered, and let those also who hate him flee from before him. As smoke is driven away, so drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so let the wicked perish at the presence of the Lord. So Israel realized that they needed God's presence. They needed the Lord to arise on their behalf. You and I are incapable of accomplishing anything of any eternal value apart from the Lord Jesus. Amen? We need him. We need his spirit to be in charge of us. And that is a voluntary cooperative effort on our part. God does not force himself on anyone, but God invites us into his fellowship. And God will provide all of our need, everything that we have need of that pertains to life and godliness. God richly provides. Amen? By faith in what God promises, we can make a withdrawal from our heavenly bank account. God has all that we have need of, but we by faith must come to him, ask, seek, and knock. Amen? Until the door is opened up. You know, we live in a drive-through. I was going to say drive-by society. That's also true. But a drive-through society of going through the quick fix, you know, get that, you know, that burger on the run or whatever. And we're in a tweeter world now, you know, and instant this and instant that. And so we have a difficult time waiting on anything because we've kind of been programmed to think like this. You know, you're noticing more and more people are losing their ability to concentrate for any amount of time. You know, because of the tweet world we live in, you know, everything is just instant, instant, instant. And we're constantly, even they started with the TV commercials, you know, every 5 minutes, boom, switches off, right? You get interrupted. So we have a difficult time focusing, concentrating. And when you're in communication with somebody, it's vital that you are focusing, that you're paying attention to the person that's talking to you. And you would expect the same from the person you're talking to, that they're just going to be listening to what you've got to say. Now, some people, let's face it, they're difficult to sit and listen to for 3 hours steady. I mean, you know, sometimes people don't know when to shut it off. I'm not talking about that. But true communication is a give and take. It's I communicate, you listen. I listen as you communicate. That's true communication. It's not me thinking about what I'm going to say next before I'm not even listening to what you have to say anymore, because I'm just thinking about what I'm going to say next. I mean, no, that's not true communication, right? And sometimes that's what happens even when people get into these arguments or these Bible debates, and they just want to win the debate, win the argument. And, you know, you've heard it said, but you can win the argument but lose the person. So we need to engage people, amen, at the heart level. The same thing is true with our Father in heaven. We need to really connect spirit to spirit with him. Jesus said the true worshipers would worship the Father in spirit. Amen, in truth. So we must be born of his spirit. We must be connected in the spirit in order to have fellowship with him. Where? In the spirit, as we call in the heart, the very core of our being. You and I are a temple made up of three parts. Amen. And the most central of that is that heart, as we call it, your spirit. Amen. That's where we commune with the Lord. That's where we meet with the Lord. Amen. So it's very important in order for us to be a vessel for God, we must focus on the most important part of ourselves, and that is the heart. That's what God is looking at. That's what God works with. Amen. First, sometimes we can change things externally, but one thing we can't do is change our hearts. That's a work that God does through the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we want to focus on that because it's the most important part of your life. Everything flows out of that heart. Amen. It's either going to be a blessing or a cursing. It's going to build up or it's going to tear down. So we need to be a people of God's presence, because wherever the ark of God went, the enemies were scattered. They were driven to confusion. Amen. The enemy was defeated wherever God showed up. And that's why in order for you and I to live victorious, amen, we must have the presence of God with us. Amen. And we must be yielding to the presence of God. We must be submitted to the Spirit of God. Amen. So that we're obeying his instruction, because God will give us divine strategies on how to defeat our enemy, how to get over addiction, depression, whatever it might be. God will give you wisdom. He'll give you instruction. And it takes an act of obedience, a step of faith on our part, to be willing to forsake my own imagination, my own understanding about things, and saying, Lord, I want to hear from you. I want to know what you're saying about the matter. Well, the Lord gave us this word, didn't he? Amen. And guys, we need to practice focusing, meditating, if you will, dwelling in the word, getting that word from our head to our hearts, if you will. The David said, what? Thy word have I hidden my heart, that I might not sin against thee. And so the enemy wants to keep you from the truth, because he can only operate in the areas of darkness. And the areas of darkness are the areas where we lack understanding, where we lack truth. You know, so Moses used to speak this again, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, whenever the ark was moved and their enemies were defeated. And in Numbers 10:34, and the cloud of the Lord was above them by day when they went out from the camp. So it was whenever the ark set out that Moses said, rise up, O Lord, let your enemies be scattered, and let those who hate you flee before you. And when it rested, he said, return, O Lord, to the many thousands of Israel. So you and I likewise are to be led of the Spirit. We are to walk in agreement with the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of the Lord, these are what? Are the sons of God. And that means when the Lord is moving, we're moving with him. When the Lord is settling, we're settling with him. We need to know when to settle and when to move. But if God is moving and we're settling, there's a problem. Amen. Or if we're settling, if we're moving when God is settling, there's a problem too. Why? Because sometimes, you know, people can learn how to do ministry without God. There's no power. There's no transformation. But we can learn to do Christian things and Christian charities completely void of having any presence. But it's the presence of the Lord. It's the Spirit of the Lord that makes the difference. It's not by might nor power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord, right? So we need God's direction. We need to be led of the Spirit. We need to learn how to walk carefully with him. And guys, listen, if we are not people of his presence, people of prayer, then we're not going to know his voice. We're not going to know his leadings. We got to get over ourselves. Our flesh wants to do another thing. And our flesh dies in his presence. It just doesn't, it can't stick its head up in God's presence. Amen. Every knee bows to Jesus. Amen. And the closer we get to him, the less effective our flesh can be over us. And that's why we're constantly reminded that we're supposed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? speaking in your hearts, right, to the Lord, making melody, singing to him, what, in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, making melody in your hearts to the Lord. We're supposed to be filled with the presence of God, amen, so that the inner life is overcoming or overpowering the outer life. But if you don't pay attention to your heart and to your spirit man, then your outer man will always win out. And the enemy will keep you so distracted with outer things and lesser things that he can rob you of your inheritance. Are you hearing me? We only have a certain window of opportunity, a certain time to do what God has called us to do. And I think it's a good idea to discover his heart, find out what God has called you to do, and get about his business, amen? Because you don't want to put all your eggs in the one basket of this world, amen, that's coming to naught. You've heard it said before, you don't deposit your money into a bank that's going bankrupt. You don't get on a boat that's full of holes. It's sinking. All right. If the ship is sinking, get off of it and get onto the ark, Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. If we're going to see revival in America, it's going to be a result of God's intervention. No politician can fix the problem. Amen. God can use people. But we need to first get back to God. We need to get right with God. We need to repent of our sins. The church needs to wake up. The church needs to repent and realize that time is clicking. Amen. Time is of the essence. God is giving us, I believe, an opportunity right now, a window of opportunity. Amen. To return to the Lord. Hallelujah. Not just do a church thing once in a while, you know, like punching a clock and punching out. Amen. But to walk, begin to walk with the Lord again. Return to that first love. Fall in love with Jesus. Get born again all over again. Amen. To where you're excited about the Lord. You want to talk about the Lord. You want to be in fellowship. You love it when we're singing praises. Amen. Because you're in love with Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, that's not a song that I like. Well, get over yourself. It's not about you. It's about your brother and your sister. It's about the Lord. Amen. We're here to please Jesus, right? So I want to encourage my brother and sister. Amen. You know, I like some of those old hymns, by the way. You know, because they were written under inspiration. These people, that was the anointed stuff of their day. That was the happening stuff, you know. That was probably the music they're saying, oh, that demonic stuff. I don't know about that. You know, the old rugged cross. Oh, no, 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 no. You know, are you hearing me, somebody? In fact, I a lot of those songs, I read it somewhere. Of course, if I read it somewhere, it must be true. Were actually bar tunes from that era. And they took the songs, amen, or the music, and they put Christian lyrics to it. Okay. So we're moving right along, right? And nobody has left yet, so that's good. We won't let you get away anyways. You can't outrun us, so. But, guys, you know, as well as I do, that things are pretty crazy right now. Pretty unstable. And wherever God is not, it's chaotic. So if you want a solution for America, it's going to require God's intervention. It means that God has to be the one to set things in order again. And in order for that to happen, God wants to first set things in order in me and in you, right? It has to begin with us as an individual. I'm responsible for my brother. I'm responsible for my sister. The way I live my life does influence others. So there's things that I may think are a liberty, but I'm not going to do them because if in any way that could cause somebody to stumble, I'm stepping away from it. Are you hearing me? Because I want to walk in love. And I can't make it about me. You've heard it said you can't be a Christian for you. You can't be a Christian. It's not about for you. Jesus wasn't, you know, here for himself. He was here for the Father and his will. And he was here for you and I. And he was led of the Spirit every day. He example to us what it's like to walk in agreement with the Father's will. Amen. And being led of his Spirit. So if we're going to see a turnaround, it's going to require God's presence. Only God's presence is going to bring order to the disorder. Only God's presence is going to crush our enemies. And guys, we know that there are physical, foreign, and domestic enemies in America. That's no mystery. Amen. But it's going to be resolved in the spirit. It has to begin there. There's a time of peace, there's a time of war, but there's a time when we as God's people need to get a hold of the only one that can really rescue us right now. And I don't know about you, but I like being free. Amen. I don't like Marxism. I don't like communism. I don't want anything to do with it. I like being a free person. Amen. And you know what? God wants his people free too. Wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is. Come on. So we know that we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. This is sometimes difficult because we see things often from our natural perspective. And we get upset with these people because they're doing these crazy things. But most of those people don't even realize how duped they are by the devil. They think that they're getting away with this stuff. They think that they're going to just have a great life and, well, eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow we die. But they're not understanding that they're going to go to judgment someday. And God is not willing that anyone should perish. God wants those folks to repent too. Remember Paul the Apostle, Saul of Tarsus? He was a terrorist. God got a hold of him and used him mightily. Amen. So the Lord shows and demonstrates his great mercy. How about you and I today? Has he not been good to us? Has he not been merciful to us? Amen. That does not mean that we bow down to evil. I say we take a stand against evil. But this battle is really a battle that the Lord has to be involved with. We have to invite God's presence in to our hearts, into our families, into our communities, into our schools, into our governmental offices. Amen. It's going to require you and I standing in the gap and saying, arise, O Lord. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. I remember hearing a story of you're speaking of India. I got to go on a mission trip there for a couple weeks. And but there was this one particular pastor that God would wake him up every morning really early and give him an assignment for his day. And this one particular day, God assigned him to go up onto this mountain where there was this really high profile and very powerful witch doctor who was known to curse people and they'd die. And so God says, I want you to go up there and pray. So out of obedience, he went up there. And he went up to the door and he knocked on the door. And the guy, the witch doctor that was inside, he was like, no, get him out of here, get him out of here. So all of a sudden, just by him being in that place where God told him to be, was already messing him up. Okay? And the wife says, he didn't want to talk to you, go away from here. So he's just so okay. And he just backed off and he just clasped his hands just in a little, like a little child. And he said, Father, I just pray right now that you would establish your kingdom reign right here in this place. That heaven come down in this place. So many words. In Jesus' name. And he left. Next thing you know, this woman is completely upset. Her husband's gone completely crazy. He's lost everything. He's gone. He disappeared. They don't know where he went. Completely dismantled the whole operation. Just because of one servant that was obedient to go there and pray and call God's presence into that place. In your home, you have there should be no reason for you to be hearing things bump in the night, amen, and watching things fly off the shelves and creepy stuff going on in your house, amen. If you're a child of God, you take authority over that devil and you kick him out in Jesus' name and don't put up with that. You don't have to call the Pope. You call on the Lord, amen. God has authorized you in his name to destroy the works of the devil. But the weapons of our warfare, 2 Corinthians 10:4, are not carnal of human origin, but what? Mighty in God for pulling down strongholds of the enemy. And the enemy sets up arguments in people's minds. Amen. He gets strongholds of lies and deceit. Amen. And if we don't know the truth, then we'll continue to be subject to that lie. And that's why we need the Word of God. We need the Bible. Amen. We need God's Word preached. Amen. And we need to be in the Word of God so we understand what's of God and what's not. We need to know who we are in Him and who He is in us. And so God wants His church awake. God wants His church fully armored up. Amen? And moving in its God-given authority. God does not give us a spirit of fear. But of what? Power and of love. A sound mind. So if you have the Holy Spirit in you, hallelujah, you have power, love, and what? Self-control, sound mind. Now, so the enemy is using fear, as you know, to control the masses today. Got people all scared about everything. They're going to catch the cooties or something. Now, there's a real bug out there, guys. I'm not disregarding that. But what I'm saying is the enemy will use something and he will exaggerate it or he'll magnify it to the point where he can see an opportunity to get control over people by getting them afraid so that they'll just conform for the sake of being safe to whatever they want you to do. You know, and so we have to be very careful that whatever we allow or disallow in our lives is being directed by the Holy Spirit of God and that we're not having a knee-jerk reaction to something that we heard. But that we consider what we do because my body belongs to God. Amen? And guys, I'm not here to say that's between you, your doctor, and the Lord. Amen? What you do with these shots and all that, okay? What I'm saying is that we need to be obedient to what God is telling us to do. And don't do things because you're in fear. If there's a healthy fear, amen, if you walk across the street, it's a healthy fear to look both ways. Right? So I'm not saying be reckless, be stupid. I'm saying be sensible, but seek the Lord in the decisions that you make. All right? And don't be in a hurry because God is not. The enemy wants to inflict fear so that we will bow down and submit to him. How many know that they would just love to shut down the church? We have to come to a place in our lives where we say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. No matter what, we're going to serve the Lord. If God says stay home, I stay home. God says go, I go. Are you hearing me, somebody? I'm not going to be led by the government. I'm going to be led by the Spirit of the Lord. And if the government's in agreement with the Word of God, it's a law that I obey. Amen. But if they step out from beyond that and they try to tell me to do something that's against my conscience and against the Word of God for me, amen, then it's a no. And that's where we need to make a stand right now, because if enough of us will make a stand right now and say, you know what, we're not going to bow down to this thing, to this spirit of control, which is a spirit of witchcraft that's on this land. We need to rise up at this moment and say, let's call on God, the only hope. God can strike down this virus. God can put an end to this stuff. Amen. God can keep us healthy. Our lives are in His hands. Trust the Lord. Yes, God gives wisdom to make right decisions. But guys, my decision may not be your decision. We're all going to answer to God for what we do. So let's, amen, quit dividing, because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to cause division in this nation and between even believers, between races. He knows that if he can divide us, then he can weaken us. And you can take over, amen? So as God's people, you know, what we need to be doing right now is seeking God's presence, amen? Calling on the name of the Lord, seeking for God to intervene right now in power and signs and wonders and miracles, destroying the work of the enemy. Hallelujah. Amen? This is more than just an intellectual stimulation for a few minutes. Amen? We need to hear from God. Amen? When God speaks, His word is powerful. When God speaks, it's life-giving. When God speaks, demons tremble. And we need to understand that we're not wrestling against people, but flesh, but what? Principalities and powers and rulers and wickedness in high places. So this is where the battle lies. And this is the thing. There are a lot of people who are expecting that Joe over there is going to be doing the praying, so I don't need to. That's exactly what's happening. The enemy would love just to get us into lackadaisialville. Complacency, apathy sets in. Yeah. What is more important, the video game or God? Can we turn this stuff off long enough, amen, to get into his presence and hear from God, get a word from God? I find that God quickens me. God strengthens me. God gives me his desire. Amen. And all of a sudden, his desire overrules my desire. And so the things that please him are the things I want to do. Because it's by his spirit and not by myself. In myself, I want to go just play all day long. Are you hearing me, somebody? But the spirit of the Lord quickens us, makes us alive. He fills us with holy passion, holy desire. And guys, if you don't have a passion for Jesus, it means that you've got something else in place of him. We should not lose our passion, amen? We should not lose that fire, amen? God wants his people alive. He wants his people on fire. We want to see the ark of God, amen, moving within us. We need to say, Lord, arise in me and let all my enemies be scattered, hallelujah. There's no reason why a child of God should be oppressed by Satan. There's no reason for a child of God to be oppressed by Satan. We are not supposed to allow that to happen. If I find myself fearful, if I find myself intimidated or weak or worried or anxious, it means that there's a lack of Jesus. There's a lack of God's presence. God wants us full of him, right? Of his Holy Spirit, so that that inner man overrides the outer man. We have life and peace in the Spirit. So no matter what we see or hear, we can just say it's well with my soul. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I'm not worried about my life. We've got to come to the end of ourselves. We've got to come to the place where we're not concerned about our lives. We're concerned about others. We're concerned about the gospel. We're concerned about the Lord and what he wants. Like the old song says, Lord, don't send me to Africa. Please don't send me to Africa. I can be a great missionary in Hawaii, though. We were talking about that the other night, how they are about don't get too comfortable. You're absolutely right. It's easy to do. We can get so comfortable. You know what? God has a way of getting us uncomfortable. True. Amen. He'll get us uncomfortable if we're too comfortable. So when we return to him, we'll start seeking him again. Amen. Crying out to him again and getting filled again and getting on fire again and having our eyes opened up to see, hallelujah, the mission of and the will of God for my life. And that becomes my desire. That becomes my passion. Paul was so motivated by his mission and by the love of God in him that he was suffering physical, amen, abuses. And how many? Five times he was 39 stripes. Can you imagine? He was a mess. Shipwrecked day and night in the deep, you know, stonings. I mean, this guy was beaten like crazy. What was the explanation for him continuing? I mean, some Christians, if they break a nail, they're done, you know. It had to be the power of God working in him. It had to be the grace of God working in him. And guys, if we're in the grace of God, or if we're in the power of God, God will override all that other stuff. Amen. And you'll see that the most important thing is not my comfort, but the will of God. And that I accomplish the will of God within the season that he's given me the opportunity. None of us know if we have tomorrow. What are we going to do? Amen. Are we going to just say, oh, that was a great message and go home and forget about it? Or are we going to say, Lord, I'm going to make a decision today. No more playing around. I want to know what your will is for my life. If you got to put the toys away, put the toys away. Put the distractions away. Put it away and say, I'm going to seek the Lord. I'm going to get in the Word. I'm going to get in prayer. I'm going to seek the Lord until I get, amen, His vision for my life. Until I'm so empowered by the Spirit of the Lord that I'll just be motivated by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, here's one. We are instructed to do what? Stir up. I'm going to talk about this again. Stir up the gift of God within you. This doesn't happen automatically. Paul reminded Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:6, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, and this is in context now, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. But in order for him to overcome his insecurities, Timothy had a little problem with timidity. He said, the way you're going to overcome that timidity is by the power of God. And you're going to have to stir up the gift of God within you. Now, when it talks about stirring up, it means kindling of a fire as with bellows. So it gives you the picture of you've got a little ember going on in the hearth, right? You get the bellows out. And you start to stir it up. Fan it into flame. So when you receive Christ, amen, if you're anointed with the Holy Spirit, God has come into you, amen. If you've been baptized with the Holy Spirit, amen, then God has deposited in you gifts, all right? You have a divine deposit within you, but that gift can sit dormant. You can neglect the gift of God in your life. And so what we need to do is we need to get the bellows out. And stir up the gift of God. Now, we know God is the one that breathes upon us. He's the one that breathes into us new life. Amen? So, there are certain keys to God's presence so that you will have spiritual power and you can walk in victory. And we need to know what they are. One of them is very obvious. It's prayer. And there's praise. And practice. And there's three P's. Prayer, praise, and practice. It's not enough just to be a hearer only. But we must be doers of the word. Stirring up the gift. You must activate that gift that's within you. And I use this illustration often. But when Elijah had left the mantle to Elisha, remember? Elisha came up afterwards, amen? When he had gone away as in a chariot of fire into heaven. Amen. And the mantle of Elijah fell. Remember, Elisha said, give me a double portion of your anointing. That's what he had asked for. He says, well, if you're here when I depart, you will have it. So what happened is Elisha had to be very faithful to follow Elijah carefully. Everywhere he went. Sometimes Elijah said, you stay behind. He said, no, I'm not. I'm going with you. He couldn't get rid of him. It's like a little puppy dog, you know. Sometimes God will test us that way too. And so what happened is the day came when the mantle fell. Well, what did Elisha do? You all know the story. He picked it up. He first took it up, right? And he put it and said, you know what? This is going to look great in my wardrobe. I'll put that in with the rest of the dusty suits I got in there. No, he took the mantle and what did he do? He struck the water and he said, where is the God of Elijah? He had to activate the gift of God that he received by a step of faith, a step of action, because fear will paralyze you. And in order to do the will of God, you must overcome fear. Fear, are you hearing me, is a paralyzer. Courage is not a lack of fear, it's mastery over it. It's control over it. So not sometimes we'll feel intimidated. Sometimes we'll be fearful. But that's when we take courage. And we say, I'm not going to allow the fear to control me. I'm going to do opposite of what the fear is telling me to do. So he took the mantle. He struck the water. And then there was the manifestation. And of course, you know the story. He did twice the amount of miracles that Elijah did. What am I saying? You and I in Christ receive a deposit from him. Giftings, abilities that God wants us to use, amen, to further his kingdom, to advance his kingdom, amen, to build up, to edify the body of Christ, to be, amen, a vessel for God to work through in this world. But my responsibility is to keep the supply of oil to my lamp. God provides the oil, but I need to keep the flame going. So I need to get the bellows, amen, applied to that gift that's within me. I need to stir it up. And I stir it up through praise. I stir it up through prayer, crying out to God, amen. I stir it up by activating it through obedience to what God has shown me to do. Now, even as I'm saying this, there's some that are sitting here saying, oh, that sounds kind of scary. I don't know. That's what you need to deal with. That's what you need to overcome. You need to overcome that part of you that wants to spare you, that wants to save you, because you can't save yourself. You need to give your life fully to God and trust your life over to God. Amen. And say, Lord, I'm going to go with you. The safest place for me to be is with you. Hallelujah. And as we step out for God, He steps out with us. As we stand up for God, He stands up in us. As we do what He tells us to do, He will meet us there. Again, He's going to be where He told you to be. If that means Africa or India or some other less desirable place, at least in the natural. But some of those places, the people are so open and so hungry for the word of God. All you got to do is tell them John 3:16 and they're running. I want to know this Jesus. But it's by the power of God. It's by the Spirit of the Lord that people are saved. Not by our own cleverness. We can't manipulate people into the kingdom. You may get people to make a decision, but if it's not the Spirit of the Lord drawing them, it ain't going to do any good. The psalmist went on to say, after he said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, right? But let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. Well, I just don't agree with that. Verse 4, sing to God. Sing praises to His name. Extol Him who rides on the clouds by His name Yah. And rejoice before Him. Extol means to lift or raise up. It means to sing loud praises to God. Who rides upon the clouds. Here you get a picture of a commander that's leading his army into war as he goes before them. Solomon, he spoke the first part of this when the ark was deposited in the most holy place at the dedication of the temple in 2 Chronicles 6:41. Now, therefore, he said, arise, O Lord God, to your resting place. You in the ark of your strength. Let your priests, O Lord God, be clothed with salvation, and let your saints, what? Rejoice in goodness. I don't know about you, but it seems to me that God wants His people to rejoice. That God wants us joyful. And if I'm not joyful, then I need to get joyful. If there's an issue, get it right. Amen? If there's something coming between you and your joy, get it out of there. Are you hearing me, somebody? You know, there's a time where we need to lick our wounds. There's a time when we need to heal. But we can't continually sit around, amen, for years licking our wounds and saying, woe is me. It's time to get over that stuff, let it go, not look back any longer and say, you know what? I've been out of the race for a while. It's time for me to get back in the race. It's time for me to get back with God. Amen. And I'm going to run this race with perseverance. I'm going to run this race to win. Amen. Because I know I have a short time. And soon and very soon, we are going to see the King. We are going to see the King of Kings. And in that day, every knee is going to bow. And I want the Lord to say to me in that day, well done, my good and faithful servant. You've been faithful. I want to be found faithful. How about you? I want to be found steady. And the older we get, the more we realize how quick life goes by. And soon we will see Jesus, whether He returns in clouds of glory to catch us away or we die a natural death. We don't know what tomorrow holds. We do know how we have today, don't we, to make a difference and to make that step in the right direction. And so, guys, in order for us to overcome, it's going to require God's presence. In order for us to bear fruit, it must be the fruit of God's Spirit. It's of Him, not of us. So we need to take up the full armor of God, Ephesians 6:13, so that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. Without God's presence, again, who is the armor of God? It's a person. We're just supposed to put on the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, did I put on the helmet of salvation? I put on the arm plate, the breastplate, the legs, the feet, and shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. And you know what I'm saying? The sword of the Spirit in my hand. Yes, it's we understand, but all of this is found in Christ. It's who He is. He's our rock, our sword, and our shield. And so we need God in our lives, and we need the power of God in us. And so we need God's presence, amen, in us, and we want God to arise in us. When you are revived, it means you come back to life again. You might have been an IV drip, barely hanging on, amen, but you stir up the gift of God within you. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. Draw near to God and He'll draw near to you. I take the initiative and I say, I need to get right with God. I need to get back with God. I need to get on fire for God. Amen. I need God's power. I need His presence in my life. And if there's anything that's hindering His moving in me and through me, I need to get it right. Amen. I just need to confess and renounce my sinful ways. Get the slate clean. Amen. Get the temple cleaned out. Amen. So that God has a place to inhabit and fill and use. Ooh. Conversion is the entrance into the supernatural abundant life of God. It's not the end. Some people, they say they went to an altar. Well, 20 years ago, I went down an altar. I accepted Jesus into my heart. And from there, nothing. If you're truly converted, amen, that's only a beginning point. That's the starting point into a supernatural abundant life of God for you. You know, God calls us, amen, to partner with Him in His mission. And we can't do this except by His presence, by His power in us. We need thanksgiving. We need prayer. We need praise. And we need to practice the Word of God. These are the vital keys to an overcoming life. So God's presence is what's going to make the difference. God's presence is going to drive out your enemies. See, sometimes you don't have to cast demons out of somebody. You just need to get the word into them and the demons will leave. Amen? Sometimes they just get squeezed out. When a person begins to praise and worship the Lord, hallelujah, and they open themselves fully to express themselves fully before God as an open, amen, vessel, hallelujah, then the Holy Spirit comes and just floods their life and those spirits will have to go. Why? Because they cannot cohabitate with the Holy Spirit. But if we're going to be sympathetic towards the devil and we're going to play with sin, then the enemy can continue to camp out in your life and mess you up. So we need to make a decision who we're going to serve. All right. And I'm going to just mention this one thing. The first piece of the armor that's mentioned here is the belt of truth. And why is that important? Because truth is what keeps you together. It keeps it all together. If you don't have the truth, you can be just some nut job running around, amen? You may have a lot of zeal, but you can be a lot of zeal and error. Come on. I'm going to say this. Saul of Tarsus, before he became Paul the Apostle, had a lot of zeal. But he was just not, he thought he was doing God a favor by persecuting and incarcerating and even consenting to the death of Christians. He was driven. He was zealous. But he was in error. So zeal does not necessarily mean a person's in right step with God. But boy, if you've got the will of God, you've got the truth and the zeal of God, that's a good thing, good combination. Amen. So God just took this zealous, amen, this zealot, and He filled him with His Holy Spirit, and he used the same vessel. He said, now I'm going to use you for my kingdom. Hallelujah. So let God arise. And one more. Did I say this already? Psalms 47:5. God has gone up with a shout. The Lord with the sound of a trumpet. Sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises. Now, In ancient Israel, you know the trumpet, the shofar, was used to assemble, to call to war, right? But it was also to celebrate a victory. God has gone up. So you see the trumpet being sounded as God has gone up, and with a shout, meaning God has been victorious over our enemies. So God would come down, amen, and he would visit Israel, and he'd give them victory, all right, over their enemies, and then he would return to his resting place. And as the Lord was rising up, they would say, lift a shout of praise, amen, to the Lord. Hallelujah. For the victory belongs to the Lord. So that's what he's saying here. And our Lord Jesus, the same thing. He ascended his royal throne in heaven after he finished his work on the cross for us. And so today we give him praise for who he is and for his glorious victory on our behalf. Think about that. Why do we give God praise? Because we're thankful. Because we're grateful for what he's done. Because he deserves it. Because we're not all that. Because we're not good. But he's been good to us. And he makes us good. He makes us righteous. So we give him praise. We give him thanks. Amen. And we also understand that praise, again, is toxic to the devil. Yeah. Sometimes we just say, I'm just not going to do it. I'm just not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. We dig our heels in. And, you know, sometimes God is saying, I want you to lift a shout of praise. I want to shatter your enemy, but you need to lift a shout. You know, as they marched around Jericho, day after day, you know, didn't say a word. But the time came when it says it's time to shout now. Right? And to blow the trumpets. Hallelujah. And God brought those walls down. And sometimes, guys, it's the only way that you're going to get your enemy defeated is you're going to lift up a shout. There's been some times when I felt really oppressed. Believe it or not. Oh, yes. No different than anybody else here. We're in a war. But I've learned sometimes I just got to cry out to Jesus. I got to lift my voice like a trumpet and cry out to God. And I've been able to shatter the enemy by just lifting a shout of praise. When we come in here, guys, and we start to lift our voices and we begin to shout praises to God, amen, the enemy trembles. Amen. It breaks the power of the enemy. He trembles in the presence of the Lord. And when God's people begin to align themselves with God and sing God's praises, hallelujah, it defeats the enemy. So that's why we should be praising the Lord. Amen? Because it brings his presence. He inhabits his presence. Amen? And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. There's freedom. There's deliverance. Amen? America needs the Spirit of the Lord. America needs the presence of the Lord. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But where he's not, it's chaos. In ourselves, it's the same thing. If I have chaos in my life, in my heart, in my mind, it means that I need Jesus in those areas. Amen? And I need the enemy driven out. And sometimes it's going to require me getting radical and say, I'm getting tired of being bullied by this giant. Amen? I'm not going to put up with it anymore. I'm done bowing down to intimidation, to fear, all right, to worry, to doubt, all these things. I'm going to start getting my, as Larry said, my ugly praise on. And I'm going to start giving God my best praise. Hallelujah. And I'm going to praise, amen, until the enemy is gone. You sense that? God's in the house. Ephesians 6:18. We pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on all occasions. Stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. How do we stay alert? Prayer, praise, amen? How do we stir up the gift of God? Prayer, praise, and practicing the Word of God, amen? Applying what we've known, what we can do in obedience to God, hallelujah. So, Father, thank you so much for the Word today. God, you've spoken to our hearts today. You've spoken to me. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to shatter our enemy. I ask you to crush our enemy. Lord, in Jesus' name, I pray that you shatter every enemy, Lord, that is attaching itself to any of your people here today. God, I pray that you break the spirits of oppression, break the spirits of depression, break the spirits of sickness and disease in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So let God arise and his enemies be scattered.